806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. I guess some olfactory levity is a good thing. because we don't have the smell of radio going on here. But so we talked about this. We're doing normal stuff, not like freak out stuff, but doing stuff that's good anyway. Doing the cleansing. You know, we use the Clorox wipes and. Or whatever other brand. I'm not pushing Clorox,
Lysol.
But on the mics and the countertops here in the studios, we do that. And we also have we'll say this and we'll get raided here. There'll be a station invasion robbery, but we have hand sanitizer, mm-hmm. You know, people have their own hand sanitizers and all that. Dalton, who is the master of hand sanitizer, he's always been a hand sanitizer guy.
I was doing it before. It was cool.
You were way ahead of the curve on this one. But Dalton is obviously getting down further in the stack of hand sanitizer because he pulled something out. It's a hand sanitizer, but is that cologne? What is that?
Man, it is killing me. So I think most people know by now.
My studio's smelling like...
I've got a young kid. I got a baby. And when she was born last year, my wife, you know, we had a lot of sanitizer just in case. Don't touch the baby unless you got clean hands. So
right.
My wife went out and got all different kinds of sanitizer. And I don't know if she went to like American Eagle or Victoria's Secret or something, but.
Hold on. Let me bring our buddy Jeff Poor in on this. Jeff, of course, the Jeff Poor Show and Regis Work at Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Okay, now Jeff's on with us. Jeff, I want you to hear this description here.
Okay, so the sanitizer that I'm using now has a name.
Okay.
It's called Ocean for Men. And it's like a cologne scented hand sanitizer. And listen, I'm not happy that I've been forced into using this. I know that I smell great when I put it on my hands, but it's a little too much just for hand sanitizer. But you know what? You got to work with what you got.
Jeff, I mean, it smells like a Monday morning meeting, like the first meeting of the day when everybody's just got full slathered cologne on in this place.
You're going to have like a trail of women chase you down the road.
I know, but they'll just be wanting to beat me up for my hand sanitizer.
They'll be older women, I suspect.
You only want to use me for my hand sanitizer. Holy cow. All right, let's get into it. Jeff Poor is joining us. And by the way, I want to ask you, our online opinion poll question is to try to determine the levels of quarantine people are. On a scale of 1 to 5, how quarantined are you right now? Number one, going about life as I normally have. Number two, still going to work but taking some precautions. Number three, out of work or working from home but still going out visiting family and friends. Number four, still going to work but otherwise staying at home. And number five, staying at home under complete quarantine. Where are you?
Somewhere between 3 and 4. I can do my job from anywhere, luckily, so I'm at work. I've been to the grocery store maybe 2 or 3 times.
Okay, so you're 3. That's kind of where Dalton and I were, 3 or 4s. Let's talk about, and we'll get back into more of the Alabama angle of the COVID-19 story, but the big one last night, and it'll have a lot of people talking today, is something that we all talk about. You know, they're doing inside information. Those people in Congress get information and they profit off it. How do the people get in there, you know, with a regular paycheck and all of a sudden leave millionaires? There's a story developing here about some folks in Congress that sold stocks at a pretty opportune time. Can you walk us through this?
Yeah, a couple of members. Kelly Loeffler, who's recently appointed by Governor Brian Kemp in Georgia, sold off some stock. But she, her situation there, as far as I can tell, her husband is a wealthy guy, and they sold off some stock. The big one that everyone's talking about is Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina. He is the chairman of the Senate Intel Committee. He sold off some stock right after a briefing. So there's
a briefing on what? A briefing on what, Jeff?
The coronavirus.
Okay.
And let me add, Loeffler's her husband is the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange. So yeah, he's a wealthy guy, but he's also, you know, intertwined in this. And she too had that had a briefing on coronavirus before they dumped $1.27 to $3.1 million worth of stock.
Well, there's two things here. He spoke to a private gathering at a Republican club up in Washington D.C., North Carolina kind of based Tar Heel Club. Told them one thing. Told them to, you know, expect a downturn. But then publicly, Barr was telling people, no, everything's going to be fine. He's giving out contradicting information. So that's one part of this. I think that may be just as damning as personally profiting off of it. Now, they both insist it's handled by third parties or whatever. But, yeah, I think it's not a good look one way or either way you look at it.
Yeah, well, okay, if it's, but there, you've got Feinstein, Burr, Loeffler, Inhofe, all that had more information than the regular investor, right? And you had all four of those dump stock.
Yeah, so are they vulnerable to an insider trading charge? That's not clear to me. I know my friend Tucker Carlson last night said that Burr needs to step down immediately and be charged with insider trading. But it does. There is a betrayal of the public trust. One thing about Loeffler is she's got a tough re-election bid. She's in this situation similar to what Luther Strange was in. Not that she was appointed by an imbalanced government, just that she was appointed. And her biggest competitor, you may remember from the impeachment hearings in the House, was is Doug Collins, a congressman from Georgia, and they do the weird jungle primary there. So I think she's in trouble getting reelected. I think that might have just been the nail in the coffin.
These other two members that Sean mentioned and you were talking about, Jeff, their stories. Dianne Feinstein, the Democrat who's been charged with this, well, not charged with anything, but they say that she and her husband sold between $1.5 million and $6 million of their stocks in late January and mid-February. And then Inhofe from Oklahoma, he sold about $400,000 in stock on January 27th.
Right. And that was kind of, you know, this started with that first Burr story with ProPublica that everybody jumped on the bandwagon looking at the timeline. It's certainly problematic. Is it illegal? That's the question. But it doesn't look good. And I guess the best way to see is what kind of political consequences are we. But right now, at a point when people are really, you know, suffering and financially because of this, and you see this, it's a let them eat cake moment. I think it's doesn't do them any favors.
No, you're right. The Burr thing, I think you got to be and you mentioned it, has got to be brought up again that he had a chance, right? This is on record. He goes in and tells the Tar Heel Club folks this is coming, and then he goes out publicly and says it isn't. So I mean, he benefits a smaller group and fails the constituency. He fails to bring that message to the constituency. And I think, you know, he's a Republican. I don't care. It's wrong.
Right. Well, there's another aspect to this that we've been just beaten up over the last 3 or 4 years about how terrible Trump is. And you know, there's so people are generally skeptical of the media and the dangers of coronavirus, and it just seemed, you know, underneath the surface are people saying, oh, this was a Democrat plot to get rid of Trump because this is what they've been doing for the last several years. So at a time when there's all this confusion, all these mixed signals and all this uncertainty, this piles on to that as well, because no one knows who to believe. Our in some ways, our elite institutions are failing us because of this, you know, not either having good standing to give us a warning or, you know, using it to their advantage. And I think that with people being out of work and a lot of spare time on their hands, it's going to fuel, I don't know if we're heading towards civil unrest or anything like that, but there's certainly going to be consequences later on down the road.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if it's beyond the political consequence, but we'll talk about that coming right back. More with Jeff Poor, and we'll grab your text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, it would be Sip, who is Mike of Sip and Chew, of course, our restaurant and wine show and all good living show that goes on Sunday mornings. They've got an event coming up to help out those servers, those bartenders, those people who are at home, cannot work right now. We'll talk about that with them coming up after 8:35. It's 8:16. News is coming up. All right, 8:21. 101 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, our buddy Jeff Poor hanging out with us as well. And yeah, you know, this is something we were just talking about during the break is we're talking about telecommuting and we're talking about technology. But, you know, Jeff's talking from a studio, a home studio, which is probably better appointed than most commercial studios. But he's at a home studio. There's a lot of folks out there in this economy that can work from home and telecommute. But there's a lot of folks who can't. And if they don't, if they're not there, they don't make a dollar. And that can be the food service industry. We'll talk about bars, restaurants, those kind of things. Also, you know, what about working crews that are working on job sites? I mean, public safety. There's so many jobs that if they're not there, they don't get a check. And Jeff, that's something that I know is trying to be addressed. I know it's to address the economy as well, but this discussion of the checks to Americans, I think it's a good thing. I wonder how quickly they'll be able to get these turned around and in people's hands. What are you hearing?
Yeah, so this is called the Phase 3. You know, every member of Congress, I've had four members of Congress on my various programs the last few days, and they're all members of the House. They're not really certain what it's going to be. But there is that concern. It's interesting because, like a Gary Palmer and a Mo Brooks, those are arguably very conservative guys, and they seem very, very. They seem more supportive of doing this, taking this Keynesian approach to solving this crisis more than you would think they would, right? So, with that in mind, you know, how big is it going to be? I think the fact that these guys are really kind of willing to go in that direction might mean it's a little bit bigger package coming than we expected, maybe anything even bigger than we saw in the 2008 financial crisis. But it's like something you were telling us about. I mean, like, it's not clear to me, A, if this is going to do much, what it's going to do, the impact. And B, once this is done and over with, what are the consequences going to be? Why are the pros and cons of doing this? We know the pros up front. What are going to be the consequences later on down the road? You know, people talk about hyperinflation and phenomenons of that nature. Do we think the government will be willing, the federal government will be willing to tap the brakes on some kind of temporary entitlement and roll it back? Because they've never done anything like that before.
Well, okay, so we've got this. One part of this discussion is the additional. We're at least $1 trillion. People say as much as $5 trillion in debt to tackle this. The one part is the fact that I feel people do need help here through no fault of their own. They don't have money coming in. And the other part, though, is the part that you and I were talking about, that the idea of giving this money is to benefit the economy as well. Give it to the people, help the people out who are out of work, and then they put that money back in the economy. But I think it's a good thing. I want the people to get the money, but I do question, just by the nature of the government sending you a check, do you hold on to that money tighter than ever?
Right, because, you know, the government's doing it. Man, this must be serious. I need to go bury this in a jar in my backyard You know, the really bad times that could be coming. That's a good question. That's always kind of a tricky game, trying to figure out human psychology and play that game. But on the other hand, well, you got to look at these guys in Washington, D.C. What are the political consequences of inaction? I mean, are they acting out of what they think is the best? Are they acting because they're fearful of the later on the political consequences of not acting sufficiently or not appearing to act sufficiently? Even if it's not necessarily the right thing to do, they're doing something, and therefore they check that box.
Let me quickly break down that direct cash payment proposal that the GOP brought yesterday, because I know a lot of people are probably wondering. For individuals that make $75,000 a year and under, and couples that make $150,000 and under, they're proposing $1,200 for each individual, or $2,400 for couples that file jointly. And then if you individually make between $75,000 and $99,000, they're going to start scaling that $1,200 down, I think like $5 per thousand you make between those. And then if you're an individual that makes more than $99,000 a year, they say no cash payments. And they also add on $500 per child. This is all based on the 2018 tax return. So, for instance, I have a kid that was born in 2019. She would not, I presume, be added on that $500. But still, that's the breakdown that they proposed yesterday.
right? That's the problem, that you're basing this payout on old money. I mean, who might have gotten better or more gainfully employed and is making a lot more money since that 2018 return. Or B, who may have the other situation where they're not employed and they really need the assistance because, for whatever reason, their industry or whatever did not give them, you know, they didn't get the same break. So that's the hang-up on trying to base on income, at least at this point in time.
You know, what the other, we've talked about this in the past, and this is to the benefit of a state like Alabama, where the cost of living is lower than other parts of the country. But, you know, $1,000 or $1,200 or $3,000 total or whatever goes a lot further in Alabama than it does. You know, it goes a lot further in Mobile than it does San Francisco.
Right, and that's what this nature of this thing, I think, is like, where they're just throwing money at a problem, right?
Yeah.
That there's no rhyme or reason, or, you know, there's nothing there. And I don't know that people are, you know, there's going to be a real reluctancy to push back on this, because if you do, there's going to be political consequences, something Congressman Byrd and I were talking about, that, you know, there's enough fear in the system politically that if you vote against something or hold it up, you're going to be demonized and skewered in the media. And we're making this, the government, our elected leaders and government are making decisions based on these circumstances.
Let's talk about the other side of the ledger, and that is tax revenue. I had a chance the other day to talk to State Senator Chris Elliott about this. Whenever they do gavel back in, however that's done in Montgomery, they're going to have a lot less money than they had projected to work with.
So that's the big discussion. They didn't get the budgets done. They're going to have to redo the budgets. And it's based on this idea that the tax revenue is going to be much lower. Remember, the state legislature had been dealing with pretty good tax revenues the last couple of sessions. And they were able to give us a record education budget last session. Not going to have that benefit. Now, one thing they do have in place that they did have in place in the past, at least not fully implemented, is that SSUT, the Internet Sales Tax. But they're running out of time. They're going to have to do a special session, I think. They're going to, just based on the timeline, to get a budget and to get the budgets done. I mean, maybe what are they going to do about the other, you know, the other elephant in the room, prisons? But, yeah, Senator Elliott's right. You're going to have to go back to the drawing board on the budgets because the revenue is going to be much, much different.
You know, I wonder if on the prisons, not to be flippant about this, but the same way people can can pay their taxes, you know, not have to pay till July, they could do the extension as well. But I wonder if the feds would give the state that kind of, say, okay, with all this stuff going on right now, you know, we had this deadline maybe this year, but we're going to give you another year or two. They may not say it publicly, but I wonder if there'll be some leniency.
There's no way to know that.
No, there's not.
There's a, you know, very liberal judge Myron Thompson in Montgomery. All they got to say is, hey guys, you've had decades to deal with this problem, and now you're going to do this. Well, you should have had this done already, and we wouldn't be having this discussion. They may not do that. So I suspect, though, with the Trump Department of Justice, maybe they give them some leniency, but remember there are other players involved in the Alabama prison problem.
That's true. And we've got just a minute left here until we've got to go the hard break, but I've been asked this question the last 2 days, so I asked Dalton, asked you, Jeff, do y'all know, everybody's asking me, will the checks be taxed? Those tax, I don't know that yet. Do you, Jeff, do you know?
I can't imagine they're going to put income tax.
I wouldn't think so, but just wanted to make sure. All right, Jeff, we appreciate you checking in, and if people want to reach out to you online, that's the only way we interact these days. How do they find you?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poole.
All right, we'll be talking to him a good bit more from his well-appointed home studio. Pretty good stuff. Coming right back, let's talk about what can be done here locally to help out those folks that aren't getting a check, working bars and restaurants. We'll talk to Mike of Sip and Chew. He is the Sip of Sip and Chew. Joins us next.
Hey, 36 here on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. And right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning to you. And we've been talking this week about the great deals you got at McConnell Automotive.
Oh, yeah. We got the 0% for 84 months on pickup trucks. You know, it's right around the corner. It's turkey season. Starts tomorrow. Anybody needs a good four-wheel drive, used or new truck, come check us out online. Don't come by there. Well, you can come by there, but just check us out online and you can see it. Give us a buzz. We merch about it. Work everything out on the telephone. You can put a credit app in. Might even bring the car to you and let you look at it at that. We've been cleaning that dealership all up. You know, it's spring cleaning, and we've been just cleaning the dealership all up. Don't have anything to worry about around there. Y'all come on by, or like I said, check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
And y'all are still buying cars, is that right?
Yes, sir. Just give Gene or I a call, give us the VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
Perfect. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him and the crew at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
And not only do we answer questions around here, we answer questions around FM Talk 106.5. Yesterday, with the announcement of the beach closure from Governor Ivey, I think it was within seconds of that on the show that I started getting the question. Actually, we just ended the midday show because I didn't have the answer. Mm-hmm. And I got a call from the DCNR director, the local guy, but for the entire state, but Chris Blankenship, called me and said, Sullivan, the boat ramps are open. I said, okay. And then we got a call from my buddy Scott Bannon, director of Alabama Marine Resources, saying the boat ramps are open. He actually joined us in the 6 o'clock hour. That podcast is up and available. You can go to our website, fmtalk1065.com, find it right there. You can go to FM Talk Pods on Twitter. The link is there.
And don't forget, at the top of our website now, if you go over to fmtalk1065.com, along the top of the page, we have a tab that says COVID-19 local news. We're a radio business, so we get a lot of our news via interview, and all of the interviews that we've had so far regarding COVID-19, the local response, state response, even federal response from some of our constituents from around here, we've got all of that loaded up there on fmtalk1065.com. Just click the COVID-19 local news tab.
Okay, so it's there, and then of course if you subscribe to iTunes or Stitcher or any other podcast platforms, you'll get it. But yes, the state boat ramps are open. The only exception, it's not even an exception, but Scott Bannon did say like Billy Goat Hole and Little Billy Goat Hole and I think the launch in the bayou are controlled by the municipality or the park board at Dauphin Island controls Little Billy Goat, and then the town of Dauphin Island has Big Billy Goat Hole. They would make that decision for whether they'll be open or not. Imagine they probably will if the state opens the other ones, but I don't have that for a fact. But the state boat launches are open. They shut the beaches down, but still, you know, like I've been saying, a great way to quarantine yourself and you know, be out there on the water and enjoying. I mean, the beaches are, it's not the beaches that were the problem, it was the people. The water is fine, the waters are not closed. That rumor was going around last night. The waters are not closed, state boat ramps are not closed, it's just the beaches. All right, and speaking of watching how this affects coronavirus, how it affects us right here in the economic side, and we've talked about it for two weeks now, is my worry of how it would impact people that got to go to work. Not everybody can telecommute. Not everybody can just lay out of work, you know, and that's really affecting people in the bar and restaurant industry. And it's good to have Mike Bailey, who is SIP of Sip and Chew, that you enjoy on Sunday mornings here at FM Talk 106.5, to talk about that. Mike, thanks for coming on.
Yes, my pleasure. My pleasure. Good talking to you guys this morning, Sean. Sorry for having to talk about this. I'd rather talk about things, but you know how, what wines I would pair with Vienna sausage and potted meat right now.
That is my kind of discussion, but yeah, we probably get
I have a personal recipe on how to make foie gras out of Spam and what to do with that old freezer burned deer sausage that maybe cousin Sean gave you years ago. You just now found while you were making room for more stuff in there. You're having to hoard food away to survive, but man, I'm going to tell you, this is something I've never seen before in my life. And I've been on this earth 62 years, and I've been in the service restaurant beverage industry for almost 35 years now, and I've never seen anything like this ever. And it's going to affect a lot of people, Sean, a lot of people.
Well, I know a lot of people already affected, and you know, we're remind folks too for takeout day today. Make sure to patronize your local restaurants and get takeout. We've spent probably 15% of our time this morning, not on news, but trying to figure out where we're going to get lunch from on takeout today. But the folks that work there, when the shutdown happened, people there's just not jobs for people right now. They're at home and they're not making a check.
Right, right. And right now there's over 15 million people unemployed.
Wow.
That's quite a bit.
And is that the number for bar and restaurant? Is that the number for people in service?
In the service industry, hotel and everything.
Wow.
And, 70% of that is small businesses. And some of these weeks are going to put a lot of businesses out of business. And just imagine if it's got to go on for 2 or 3 weeks. It could put most of them out of business. It's going to hurt. It's going to be very painful. And, I've always encouraged those who work on tips to report their tips and be honest about reporting their tips. Because it can affect a lot of things like, you think you're beating the system by having more in your pocket, but it hurts, like in your credit report. If you're not reporting correctly, it can hurt your credit report or not shine as well on your credit report. And then when you need assistance, it's not helping you as well. There are ways of supporting people, these people. Now, some of the restaurants are going to, and businesses, they're going to go do a deep clean with their employees. They're going to bring their employees in, and they're going to do a really deep clean, behind the toilets, the walls, everything. Just may get ignored on a day-to-day basis, but they're going to keep them employed as much as they can. Some, they've just had to say, I'm sorry, folks. There's nothing we can do, and there isn't.
So what can we do, Mike?
There's a number of things you could do. For the restaurants that are doing the curbside service, go support them. A lot of restaurants do a lot of to-go to begin with, and I'm amazed. I'm type person. I don't do a lot of to-go, but I like to sit in a restaurant and relax during my lunchtime or my dinner. But I see and I watch what goes on in a restaurant, I see a lot of to-go orders go out daily. So there's a good opportunity there for that. And folks, most people don't tip on to-go orders, but please, I encourage you to tip these people because there's somebody actually cooking that for you and then getting it ready to go, putting it in the to-go container and then they got to bring it out to the curb for you and make sure you got plenty of napkins and straws and all that. But do what you can to and tip bigger. When you do tip bigger. And I just found out last night there's an app called Venmo, V-E-N-M-O. You go to Venmo.com and you can make cash donations to certain servers that you happen to like. And like one person said on Facebook last night, if you when you're sitting at home drinking your homemade drink, and you're thinking about your favorite server who serves that, you can go to that app and find them, I believe, and you can make a tip in their honor. And there are things you could do, like a love offerings at restaurants, and you can go in and make a tip toward their pool to take care of them. And just tip, period. And like I said, tip on to-go orders. Some of these places just aren't going to make it. And it's sad. But a lot of them are going to make it. And if we could stay in there and help support them in every way we can. The restaurants aren't only affected by... this doesn't only affect just the servers and employees that work there. It also affects all their suppliers, their beer salesmen, their wine salesmen, their paper product salesmen, their linen service, their food suppliers. I mean, it's going to trickle all the way down. It's not just going to hurt the restaurants. It hurts it all the way down. And it's sad.
Yeah, one of the things we had done last week, too, is on the tip, we had given a very big tip and asked that person to share it, with everybody yeah. back at the restaurant. And that, you know, yeah. that was, I guess with Venmo, you're talking about you can do it specifically, but we just wanted to make sure all the people that, like you said, that worked to do that food were getting tips as well. And we talk about the checks, we're talking about the federal checks that'll come out, and that may help some, but that doesn't replace a job. And like you said, the worry is of having fewer of these great local places to eat and drink uh-huh. when we come on the other side of this.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there's probably going to be a boom of people. We don't do well down here staying indoors 2 or 3 days, you know. The coronavirus, the boredom's probably going to kill me before the coronavirus does. But we're going to, you know, there's probably going to be a boom when the government says, hey, you can open your restaurants and you can go yep. back out again. And it's probably going to be crazy. But in the meantime, it's going to be a nightmare for a lot of people. And just think of these servers who are not making that much. They probably had to spend all their money on groceries, so now there's just no income. They're not going to have any money to go back out and buy some groceries when they, if this thing drags on. There's no money coming in. And they can file for emergency unemployment and the federal assistance. But some of these may not get any of these donations because there's a lot of servers out there, a lot that's going to fall through the cracks.
Well, you bring up a good point. So we're talking to Mike Bailey from Sip and Chew, and I'm sure you'll talk about this more on the show on Sunday.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to cover a lot of things on Sunday, a lot of things.
If people want to find y'all online, maybe get more information or interact if they have ideas, how do they do that?
You can go to, the best way is our Facebook page, and then it'll lead you to a lot of things. You know, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu, /Facebook, and we have a lot of information on our Facebook page, and it'll direct you to all our other social media outlets.
Mike, thank you, and keep this in the news cycle. I'll do my side of it here as well, and we'll try to help as best we can these folks during this time. Thank you, man.
We will. Thank you, guys.
All right, Mike Bailey, checking in right here on Mobile Mornings. I want to add this too, that today, if you're getting the takeaway, or if you're going to get it delivered, the folks with Waiter, mm-hmm. right? You were talking about the Waiter app earlier.
Yeah, there's several apps, Waiter, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Dapper Deliveries here locally. But I do know that Waiter has a special thing going on right now.
Yeah, we got a note here from Chris. Thank you, Chris. He said, stay cozy at your place and we'll bring the next meal to you. Want to give contactless delivery a go? Get started here. If you'll go to DoorDash, if you use the code INSIDE, mm-hmm. I get it, Chris.
Now, is that Waiter? Waiter.
Yes, I'm sorry, not DoorDash, Waiter. That's the Waiter promo code, and you use the code INSIDE for Waiter today. So get the Waiter app, okay, and then if you put in code, it'll have a place for the code is INSIDE mm-hmm. for the Waiter app, and you get free delivery. So yeah. Way to step up, because they're helping. Yeah, they're helping people get those meals and get that traffic through those restaurants. It's so very important.
Yeah, and along with that, there's an option there in Waiter and all these other delivery apps too, that once you place your order, you can tip there through the app. So you can do that. I think you can also leave a cash tip too. But, you know, if you're doing contactless delivery, that might not be the best option.
Right. And maybe contactless delivery is no actual interaction with the...
Yeah, we did a delivery the other day that was contactless delivery, and they just basically they leave it at your doorstop. And some of them might wait for you to come out and get your food, and then they have to say that, you know, they go into their app and say so-and-so picked up their food. But that's how that works, so that you're not actually being handed the food that you order.
Okay, so you're going to order lunch today for the office. Use the Waiter app. Promo code today is INSIDE and get free delivery. And like Dalton said and Mike said, make a very big tip. And those people, I'm sure, that are doing the delivery, you know, they realize how this works and they're helping getting those restaurants going. And we want to make big tips to get money back to the people in the restaurants. So we'll talk about this more, and we get the fun job of figuring out what we're going to get for lunch today.
I know. I'm going through all the options. I think I want one from everybody. One thing from everybody.
It's going to be the best midday mobile ever. All right. It's 8:50. Coming right back. Hey, Thank you, Kane. 855 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. I'm going to tell you about the maids. The maids have been working in our home since back in October, but I'm going to read you a little bit of an email I got for the maids. I think this is pretty telling. And by the way, if you got some time to get that free estimate, you can do that by calling 344-6626. But enough of that. I read this here. So from an email I got from the maids, it goes on, it just talks about the folks. It said, for all of us here at the maids, the health and welfare of our customers and staff is always our top priority, and we want to help your family stay healthy. And they talk about their 22-step Healthy Touch deep cleaning system created to provide you and your family with the healthiest living environment possible. They also said, we help protect our customers' homes through the disinfecting process we've always used. In light of the spread of COVID-19, we're taking some extra precautionary steps to enhance these processes. We want you to share these improvements. We want to share these improvements with you, along with how we're ensuring our cleaning team and our whole team as a whole are working to prevent any contamination. Fortunately, we are part of a world-class home cleaning franchise. They provide us with expert guidance to assist us with our response to communities to this virus. We are following this guidance and have enhanced their suggestions even further because we take our role in helping you in your home, enabling our employees to earn a living and contribution to our communities very seriously. If you have any questions about how we're working or any aspect of the service we're providing you, then you can call us or reach out to us by email, and it gives the contacts there. Hey, that's the maids. That's this company we've been working with. They do a great job of cleaning, obviously do a great job of interacting with their customers. Get a free estimate now from the maids, see what they can do for you. Phone number 344-6626, 344-6626. All right, and remember too, this, we'll talk about it more on the midday, but Mobile Takeout Day. By the way, if you want to post your order, we'll do that. It's hashtag Mobile Strong is what you do on social media there. But we're going to be getting delivery today for the midday show.
Yeah, and even though it's Mobile Takeout Day, I mean, on the other side of the bay, you might as well get takeout too, right? Baldwin County Takeout Day.
That's right. That's right. Get in on the action. All right. So you said a story here of a price gouging story.
Yeah. And when I told you this during the break, we didn't have much time before this segment started. So once I read into it after reading past the scare headline, but they are saying now that a CEO of a Georgia-based hospital Wednesday, he was talking on CNN and said that the supplier of a protective mask, I think those N95 masks for healthcare workers, is charging $7 for the masks, and these masks typically cost 58 cents. Now, the disclaimer here, they were trying to source these masks out of a company in Mexico. Okay. So it's not like American mask companies have been defrauding them, but a Mexican company, and we might see this happening with some of the industries in America that are selling to hospitals, but there's some price gouging going on from this company out of Mexico, charging $7 per mask. He says they have a million of them on hand.
Okay, I'm going to throw a unpopular opinion in the mix, something to cipher on here in the next 3 hours. We'll talk about in the midday. Is there a value to that in this case? Because if you kept the price at 58 cents, right, and it's not the $7, then because of panicked buying, the first person who could get in line, unless you have a limitation on the numbers you can buy, which the private company could do, but if they don't, first person shows up is going to buy all of them.
Mm-hmm.
With this going on, right? The first hospital, the first medical group is going to buy all of them. Maybe the nature of the price gouging here, which I don't think is a great thing, but maybe one of the unintended consequences will be a better distribution of masks for more hospitals. More hospitals will get fewer, but they'll get some.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And with this being a company in Mexico, you know, whatever. It's not. But I would hope that American companies, so many people are making sacrifices.
That's right.
Jobs over this.
I agree.
You need to make the sacrifice.
Yeah, the right moral choice is to limit, figure out how many, you know, try to get the best spread, that shouldn't say spread, distribution of these masks among healthcare facilities. But just, you know, something that's been talked about over the past is, you know, if price gouging does have, at some level, some ability to spread out supplies a little better.